Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Thursday, this the 22nd in October of 2020. I am your host, Michael Kimmett, as always bringing you four of the most crucial current events in cyber and technology that you need to start this, the back half of your week. And we're going to start with something called VMware. VMware stands for Virtual Machine Ware. And for those of you who might not know, computers historically have been very large machines, and we tend to conceptualize one machine per user. But there's a technology called VMware, where one machine, sometimes quite small, can actually host a dozen or more virtual machines. In other words, your computer can have multiple computers in it that are all operating differently. Now, obviously, this is not feasible on your laptop at dozens of scales, but many people do have virtual machines that run on their laptops. Two or three, you might encounter some resource restrictions because your machine was essentially built to be one machine. But there is a huge amount of VMware products, particularly for businesses, to do this at scale so that they have to have less hardware and can focus on giving their employees more useful software. Now, the problem is that VMware had to fix a significant flaw, which is why we are talking about it today. The vulnerability, which is tracked as CVE-2020-3992, exists in its ESXi, Workstation, Fusion, and NSXT products. So if you use any of those products, you need to patch now, because if you don't, you and your users are potentially vulnerable to a malicious actor who, now, they do have to have access to your network already, but in a lot of cases, we see actors gaining access. So I'm not saying we should assume actors have free access to our systems by any stretch, but we also shouldn't pretend like they can't possibly get access to our system. So if a malicious cyber criminal has access to your system, specifically on port 427, they could trigger this vulnerability, which would allow them to remotely execute code. And that's what every criminal's goal is, to remotely execute code, because that is how they do things like steal your data, install ransomware, spy on users, etc. So again, VMware did patch this flaw, CVE-2020-3992, so if you use it, please patch and update now so that you are not the victim that we're talking about weeks from now. We're going to move on from VMware and small-scale technology to a huge issue involving a large technology firm that provides infrastructure from cell phones to cellular networks to large enterprise networks, and that company is Huawei. Now, Huawei is under global scrutiny because of its ties to the Chinese government. And to be fair, in China, if you are a business, you have ties to the government because it is a communist state. Now, what's interesting here is that Huawei and a partner firm, ZTE, are very big and very good at building particularly mobile networks. 5G is the latest mobile network craze, and these companies are good at building them. They have been banned, however, from doing so in many countries, including the United States and the UK, with some countries, like the United States, phasing out use of all Huawei and ZTE equipment on the grounds that there is legitimate fear, in some cases, that having that equipment allows for security holes that would be used by China to spy on users globally. Well, apparently Sweden agrees. Swedish Post and Telecom Authority has announced this week that they will be banning four of the finalists of companies who are bidding to build the future network for the country. They banned them from using Huawei and ZTE equipment. And this is a big blow to the Chinese firm's revenue streams. And it also means that these four companies, if they had planned on using any Huawei or ZTE components, now have to scramble to find alternatives. And what's interesting here is that they are also urging carriers to replace any existing equipment from these vendors, Huawei or ZTE, by 2025 at the latest. And that is a very big ask because, at least in the United States, the costs to do so are entering into the billions with a capital B dollars. And so there's a huge financial impact, not just to Huawei and ZTE, but also to those companies and infrastructures who already use Huawei and ZTE equipment. Good news is that whether or not those companies would have upgraded that equipment is moot because they may upgrade them anyways, which should increase, in theory, the newness and security of those networks on the assumption that those components are replaced with more secure versions. And so we see that technology and politics are continuing to intersect, and while Huawei and ZTE are valid companies, their association with a government that has a history of spying is having a negative impact on their business. Speaking of business, there was a bookstore, a huge chain, Barnes & Noble in the United States, that we talked about had a ransomware attack that impacted users' ability to access Barnes & Noble's online products. And now we know who's behind it, or at least who's claiming to be behind it. There is a new ransomware group that has emerged in the last 60 days, and they are called Egregor. Now, Egregor is a ransomware gang that, again, is fairly new, and they disclosed that they were behind the 15 October cyber attack against Barnes & Nobles, and they claim that they have financial and audit data. Now, it's unclear if this is a true claim based on the limited amount of data they did steal, but if so, it could be a very big issue for Barnes & Noble. And 2020, being a bookstore, has its own unique challenges as the world digitizes. And so having your financial and audit data in the hands of criminals who are willing to disclose it is potentially a problem. And this doesn't look like it's a one-off for the Egregor ransomware gang. They also claim to have hacked video game industry giant Ubisoft. And they claim to have the source code for a release of a game that is coming out later this month. And this is problematic because, one, we use usernames and passwords for video games these days, which, and the source code behind that could put our data that we're putting into video games at risk. So not only is the company Barnes & Noble dealing with the fact that they couldn't service customers, now they have to deal with, is our data going to hurt our long-term financial outcome? We see that the video game industry, a huge revenue source for many companies like Ubisoft, could be facing very similar futures. We're going to end today on more geopolitical elements because talking about Chinese spying simply wasn't enough. What do you do when another nation state doesn't intend to spy on you, but simply to sow discord among your country? Now, that's what appears to be happening, and some security experts are at early stages claiming that Iran is doing this to voters in the United States. Now, the U.S. presidential election coming up is a big deal, and many voters are either for or against keeping the incumbent president of the United States. Historically, the two parties in the United States, the Democratic and Republican parties, can be quite divisive. And it seems that Iran has capitalized on this divisive nature to pretend to be a right-wing or Republican-leaning slash supporting group known as the, quote, Proud Boys. Now, the Proud Boys are an organization based out of Florida. And so many voters for the Democratic Party are claiming to receive messages, which was confirmed by email security vendor Proofpoint, that were very aggressive in nature. It claimed the emails from Proud Boys, which was actually not from them. It was from Iranian threat actors, at least. Again, early stages suggest Iran is behind this activity. Anyways, the emails that Democratic voters are getting are claiming that they need to vote for the incumbent president or else, and they claim that they know their addresses, how they will vote, etc. Notably, Influencing voters in this way is a federal crime in the United States. So if we find out, or anyone finds out, we being the cybersecurity community or law enforcement, then these individuals who are behind these malicious emails that are basically making people feel like they either can't or should not vote, those people will be indicted and could serve time in federal prison. So the bottom line here is that no matter who you're going to vote for, it does not look like anyone will know who you vote for. Please vote. Voting is very important regardless of who you're going to vote for. Make your voice heard and don't, as in this case, let maybe Iranians decide who you are going to vote for to continue this, the United States. Thank you all so very much. Have a most fantastic Thursday. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow on Friday. Stay safe, stay strong, stay healthy, and we'll see you then. Michael Kimmett, signing off. Ciao. Welcome back, listeners. Today's tip of the cap goes to an artist in Washington. Ross Palmer Beecher is a 63-year-old, and she won the Twining Humber Recipient Award for 2020, which is an award given to a self-identified visual artist who is a woman in the state of Washington every year. And the criteria is that you must be 60 years or older. And have dedicated 25 years of their life to the creation of art. And so, Ross Palmer Beecher, for your continued dedication to art and teaching art, particularly in the state of Washington, a sincere tip of the cap.